Welcome to the VN Tourism Podcast. I'm Kojo Benson Williams. The VN Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. My conversation today is with CEO of Aviators Africa, Tony Okachukwu. Tony is leading an initiative dubbed Walk for Love Africa. The project aims, among other things, to ramp up vaccination drive in Africa and also impress on African leaders to reduce bottlenecks that hamper intra-African travels in the region. Welcome to the VN Tourism Podcast, and I've been joined by Tony Okachukwu, who is the Managing Director of Aviators Africa, and he does a number of things. I would let him introduce himself. Tony, for the purpose of my listeners, can you introduce yourself and what you do?
Thank you, Kojo. It's a privilege to be on your podcast. Like you rightly introduced, my name is Tony Okachukwu, and the CEO of Aviators Africa, a PR media marketing company that services the travel, tourism, and value chain in Africa. We also publish a flagship magazine called Aviators Africa. And very recently, we launched a project that we're going to talk about in the course of this podcast. So, yes, that's what I do.
Okay, how is Nigeria?
Nigeria is great. We're moving on with the times and trying to see how they can pick up the pieces during the pandemic and go about their daily life. So it's looking up.
Okay. Now let's stay a bit more on how travel and tourism has fared, especially at this very challenging times. From your end, in terms of aviation and from both inbound and outbound, what do you see, you know, respect to numbers? And again, just to put the emphasis that we know that at this very extraordinary time, it's always difficult to be very definite with a forecast. But what's your take on how things are looking like at this moment?
Okay, so I think things are pretty looking up. People are beginning to kind of consolidate on times and how they can manage to just recover. But again, just like I said, we are being mindful of how we forecast. Everybody is taking it one day at a time. But the whole vibe is that we can get through this and our sector can get back. That's the feeling, that's the vibe. So people are really pushing and getting through to their jobs. And from the aviation part, I mean, in Nigeria, there are airlines scared to come up to start operations. So it's bubbly. So if they are not looking up to being optimistic, I don't think you'll see airlines trying to start up. But with the way things are going, everybody's optimistic that 2022 will be a better year from 2021, and the forecast will be better. The rebound will be better. And again, with the show of confidence that they, by the backing of the ministry for the airlines, when it comes to BASA and how foreign countries treat Nigeria and other countries, we are keen to see people, different African countries, reinforce their belief that they can do better and they can demand for better. So the whole outlook is looking good for African countries to begin to demand, especially when it comes to bilateral service agreements and reciprocity with which it comes to airlines. And we've seen them in Nigeria and Kenya, you know, trying to push back and demand for more. I think the outlook is generally going to be better in 2022 from the airline perspective.
Good. I mean, let's digress a bit. And again, on the specific, topic of reciprocity and what we are seeing, what we saw in Nigeria with respect to Emirates, and now what we see in Kenya. You've been somebody who's been following this, story for a long time. What was the situation, especially with Nigeria? And as an industry lead, as a journalist, what will be your assessment of how Emirates, treated Africans, and if you may want to put the word, a ban of a number of African travelers, to the destination?
So to put it in proper context, it started, let me take a little bit back from how it started. It started with Emirates, not obeying or not going by, not respecting the sovereignty of Nigeria as a country. I mean, you are an airline, Nigeria is a country, and Nigeria as a country has its safety protocols that it has put in place. You as an airline want to put your own parallel safety protocols, and Nigeria said, no, you must abide with our own safety protocols, okay? No antigen tests at the airports. KLM was doing the same thing with Emirates, but they had to buckle and they stopped and they obeyed Nigeria, but Emirates refused. Then Nigeria said, okay, in that case, we have to ban you from coming to Nigeria, because if you want to do this antigen test, do them in Dubai, where you have jurisdiction, you know, when people come into your country. But as for Nigeria, this is our own set protocol. You can't do extra antigen tests at the airport. So that's how the ban started. And rather than Emirates complying, they now came back to say, you know, they are not going to fly into Nigeria, and then they started pushing the goalposts, and I think it was largely due to ego problem. And then again, this is the case when, just like the DG of the Nigerian State Nation has said, when the Africans are eager to give and not really eager to expect more, that's when people now start to, you know, push the goalposts and disrespect them at their sovereignty. So for the very first time in a very long time, Nigeria stood up. You know, I know how it cascaded, and we said, no, we are going to stand on this. Now let's look at our bilateral service agreement. You come to Nigeria almost more than 20 times a week, and our carrier from Nigeria just asking for one slot in Sharjah, and you're saying Sharjah's slots are, you know, are operating more than capacity. So Nigeria, that's okay. Let's look at this bilateral service agreement, which rests solely on reciprocity. Okay, now we are saying, if you don't give us reciprocate under the bilateral service agreement, then of course Emirates will not fly to Nigeria. And for the very first time, just from Sharjah, we saw Emirates move to give slots in Dubai, which before now is something that you never think will ever happen. So that's where we are now. Things are looking up and they are complying. But again, because of this backlash from Nigeria, you know, they are beginning to take the aggression to other African countries, you know, to exercise their power. But again, other African countries are waking up to, you know, the demand and say, you know what, if you ban us, we ban you. I mean, it's something that is supposed to be a win-win. You are not doing us a favor. Yes, and Africa, Nigeria especially, is a great market. You know, yes, you're a big carrier, but you cannot undermine the kind of revenue you make from and the numbers you make from flying to some of these African countries. So,
in fact, I mean, we have to put it in the context, you know, as well. And I fully agree with you. Destination Emirates, in terms of a destination and for tourism, I think over 50% of the numbers are coming from you know, Africa. And they are where they are, you know, because of the African, you know, source market. So it's pretty much unfair for them to institute this ban, which really it's unscientific and, you know, makes you know, little sense.
Yes.
Yes, now, yes, let's get into our own conversation of the project you're trying to do. And I mean, when you told me, I think it's a very laudable one. But again, the issues that, you know, cropped up when I read the project document of, you know, looking to garner support for vaccine equity. I think it's a good idea. The challenge, however, has to be that how are we not using or pressing our national health authorities, you know, through the countries and using the AU platform to address that?
So you made the vital points there. Just for clarity's sake, what we are pushing for, vaccine equity and administration, is just one of the issues. It's topical now because it's just at the center of travel and tourism, you know, affecting a whole lot of other. Affecting the rebound, but there are other issues that are also underlining. However, Just like you already put, there are fragmented conversation around vaccine equity in Africa. Okay, so for some, it's for some countries, they don't have enough. For some countries, they don't want to be compelled. For some countries, there's no data. Okay, so these are conversations, these are issues that cut across African countries. Now, let me bring it to perspective in Nigeria. So in Nigeria, the fully vaccinated is just around 6% to 7%, just about 7%, and the not fully vaccinated is around 4%. That shows the number of people that are unvaccinated in Nigeria. Now there are conversations around, okay, creating more awareness for people to be willing to go get vaccinated and the value and the benefits of being vaccinated. That conversation is another conversation. When you go down to South Africa, there are some cacos that are kicking against the human right to say we cannot be compelled, you know, to be vaccinated. But then it moved down to Botswana again. Botswana spent about $30 per dose to make their booking. They are yet to get their vaccines. So the issues are just different from one African country to another. But at the bottom of it, what we are saying is that unless we get vaccinated, our sector, travel and tourism, will find it difficult to rebound. And I'm not talking about demography of people in the rural areas that have no business with travel. And they are making the statement to say, we don't really need the vaccine. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay if you don't want to buy the vaccine. It's within your human right. But we in the travel and tourism sector, because we travel, because we are going to be going to hospitality office, because we are going to be going to some destinations, and they put their protocols in place that you have to be vaccinated before you can enjoy these services, then it becomes a problem for our sector. If people in our sector want to go about from point A to B, or travel and tourism businesses don't get vaccinated, is our rebound and our livelihood will not come back as quick as we want it to come. This is the conversation we are having, you know, as regards putting the vaccination administration and equity into perspective.
Now, in terms of your action plan, how do you intend to reach out to the authorities who can help in this advocacy?
Okay, so basically, let me just put a little bit introduction. So we launched Work for Love. It's a Pan-African advocacy campaign platform to help and look for ways that will help the travel and tourism industry in Africa rebound. Yes, vaccine is one of the issues we are tackling, but we are tackling other issues. The whole main overarching objective is that with the advent of Omicron and the rest, we are saying it's time for Africa to look inwards. It's time for Africa to love themselves enough to do business with themselves, travel their countries themselves, get to know their fellow Africans and destinations in Africa, because it all seems that each time the West sneezes, Africa catches cold. And with the unscientific, when during the advent of Omicron, the unscientific and knee-jerk bans and restrictions that Africa was placed on Africa didn't need that kind of exclusion, you know, because it was not scientifically based. So we tend to suffer when anything comes. And I say Africa is enough. Africa can develop its travel and tourism value chain by dealing with itself, by traveling, you know, amongst African countries, by organizing MICE within Africa. With over 1.2 billion as a population, we are enough to do stuff as a continent and grow our GDP. Let it be a time that we self-reflect and look at how we can do this as Africans for Africans. Let it not be like we're waiting for the bans and the pandemic to be over, then we jump out to Dubai, or we jump out to US, or we jump out to Europe. How about using this? They said it's never let any crisis go to waste. How about using this opportunity to see how Africans can now go about, you know, doing stuff with Africans and their destinations, organizing conferences or going to their destinations. And that way we improve Africa. Look at the Nations Cup that is happening now. There's little vibe to it. But in this situation where Africans should have been going to Cameroon, you know, and supporting the Nations Cup, you know, it's on our continent. And that way, we'll just threaten the airlines should be making bookings and charter flights to Cameroon, you know, open up the tourism value chain, you know, let Cameroon destinations be up out there and people get to know more about Cameroon. This is what we're advocating for. Okay.
No, Tony, I agree with you 100%. But again, like somebody in the aviation space, you know, more specifically, you realize that we've had these conversations over and over again. And where we're beginning to see that, look, some of the bottlenecks that we are having are self-inflicted. That when we speak about the fact that I'm not somebody traveling from Nigeria to Kenya or East Africa or vice versa, it's a big trouble if, you know, so one will not attempt to even travel. So if we don't eliminate the things of, you know, travel facilitation, you know, cost of ticket and visas. I mean, we have countries in Africa that we have to still apply for visa, whilst some European and Western countries don't need visa to these African countries. So it's a big issue, but again, like you said, it starts from somewhere. And I'm believing that this project, you know, advocacy, like you said, has a bigger aim of trying to let Africans know that yes, Africa, we've come of age in terms of you know, mines, in terms of tourism, but if we are going to travel within the continent and it's very expensive, you know, yes, about patriotism is fine, but it all comes down to, you know, economics of scales and what people are able to afford.
Yes, so I totally agree with you, which is why this advocacy is, there's no better time to begin to push for this advocacy, because these problems have been with us for a very long time. Part of our objectives is also to have a borderless Africa. I mean, we shouldn't have borders and restrictions, and we are barring ourselves as Africa between by doing air connectivity. Interconnectivity is nothing to write home about. I mean, just to get a charter flight from Abuja on air peace to Garoua in Cameroon, part of what one of the cities holding the Nations Cup, is over $2,000.
It's
unimaginable.
Yes.
You know, so you are correct when we say these issues are what's affecting, which is why we are using this advocacy. So we're going to use different platforms, you know, to push for us to have a reorientation and have a rethink about, you know, not shooting ourselves in the foot, because if we are borderless, if we can transact between ourselves, we can travel, and, you know, enforcing the AfCFTA and what SATAM is trying to do in Africa, then Africa is going to be better for it. So basically, it's a no-brainer, but like you said, I don't know why it's taking us too long to realize this, you know, moving these bottlenecks that is hindering Africa from becoming great. But again, we keep moving the advocacy and trying to talk to the right people and get them involved, bring them to the table and make them to begin to shift the needle to, you know, implementing on how Africa can be really, really, in the real sense, borderless.
Excellent. Now, as we, you know, conclude on this conversation, who can join, where, you know, and where can, you know, people reach out, and what is the next step forward for this great initiative?
Okay, so the Work for Love Africa is a Pan-African project which we are kicking off on the 12th of February with a theme, Connect Africa. So we are going to have a 2-kilometer leisure walk across participating African countries. Right now, we are over 50 African countries and counting, with coordinators in all these countries that we are in. So we are going to have a leisure walk to create awareness, to drum support with the leaders in aviation, travel and tourism in these countries, involved in the work, participate in the work with our branded t-shirt, Work for Love, just to drum support, to create awareness for a borderless Africa and a connected Africa. Post 12th of February, we're going to be having, you know, jumping on different platforms and different events across Africa to continue, you know, the messaging and, you know, pushing for a borderless Africa and having a conversation, you know, in different travel and tourism events. So basically, we chose February deliberately because it's the month of love. Underlining in what we are trying to push is that we need to, as Africans, love ourselves. You know, we do not love ourselves that much. And if we don't love ourselves that much, we can't expect other people from other continents to love us that much. So first of all, we must demonstrate that we love ourselves. And by loving ourselves, we need to begin to eat together, work together, go out our countries together, you know, and do stuff together. So that is why we deliberately put it in the month of love, which is February. It's a February week, Valentine weekend, the 12th of February, so that people can be able to come out on a Saturday to do that work. So we're going to have that work simultaneously across over 15 participating countries and counting. And we're going to have a theme song launched that day. An artist, Vicky, from South Africa, is composed a song for love, which will premiere on that day to also say, you know, put it out there that Africa needs to be loved. So basically, this is our plan for 12th of February. But post 12th February, we're going to come out with various programs in different African countries on how we continue to keep the movement, sustain the momentum, and going to drum for a borderless and a connected Africa.
Thank you, Tony, for your time.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.